Please be seated.
In 27 BC, Augustus Caesar became the ruler of the Roman Empire. The kings who ruled over all the smaller kingdoms in the empire came from near and far to plead for their reappointment to their kingdoms. Among them was Herod, the king of the Jews. He had to leave his kingdom temporarily in the hands of others while he sought continuance of his rule. Those to whom he entrusted his kingdom were responsible to Herod for how they administered the kingdom in his absence. If they did poorly and he was returned to power, they stood to suffer. If they served him well, but Herod was not reinstated, they stood to suffer from Herod's enemies, and he had many. The best solution was to be absolutely loyal to the side to which they were committed, and at least they would be able to do whatever they did in good conscience. The parable we heard this morning was probably based on such an event. A powerful man had to go away for a while, and he entrusted his goods to his servants by giving each one or more talents. Nowadays, we think of talents as an ability or a skill that one may have, but in the first century, a talent was actually a measure of weight, like a pound or a kilo. And it was used particularly for measuring gold or silver or copper. It was recognized as the largest weight in normal everyday use. It was something that people physically could carry, like 50 to 75 pounds. As a monetary term, its value would vary depending upon the metal. But, for example, a talent of silver would be worth around 6,000 denarii. At the time of Christ, a day laborer would have to work almost 20 years to earn one silver talent. In today's gospel, these talents the master gives each slave, gives one 5, one 2, and one 1. The master obviously invested in each of these slaves according to his perception of their individual abilities. In fact, it's because of this parable that the original meaning of the word as a monetary weight has been forgotten. And it is now a term used to describe the natural ability of someone. The obvious message, and indeed strong warning of this parable, is to use whatever talent God has given us. There is an incredible reward if we do so, and a very dreadful punishment if we do not. So what does this mean to us? How do we know what talents we have? How do we know what exactly God is holding us responsible to use? There are at least three areas at which we can look to see the talents God has given us and that we are responsible to use. The first area to look is our natural abilities. What can you do that you can do well and enjoy doing? There was a movie some time ago called Chariots of Fire. Maybe some of you saw that. Some of you who are older than 25, at any rate. In that movie, my favorite scene is when Eric Little, who goes on to win an Olympic gold medal in the 440, when he says to his sister, "Yes, I know that God has called me to go to the mission field, and I will go, but God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." You see, there are abilities that God has given to each of us, and when we use them, not only do we enjoy using them, but God himself loves to see us in action. So whatever your natural gift is, enjoy it and put it to use. I believe God loves to watch singers sing, musicians play. I believe God loves to watch athletes perform and artists as they create. God loves it when we use those natural abilities that he has given us. He gave them to us, after all, for us to use and to use for his glory. The next type of talent that we are responsible to God for is not necessarily a natural gift, although it can be an outgrowth of a natural gift. What I'm referring to is a spiritual gift that God gives to each Christian. The purpose of this gift is to serve other members of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are discussed in Paul's letter to the Romans, to the Corinthians, and to the Ephesians. In the letter to the Romans, Paul tells the believers to use those gifts God gave them. He says, to the one who does acts of mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. To the one who leads, let them lead with zeal. The one who contributes, let him do with generosity. The one who has the gift of service, let him serve well and skillfully. The one who teaches, let him give himself to teaching. There are many, many different spiritual gifts. These spiritual gifts are the ones that we use. When we use, we notice they're effective and the people are really helped. Whatever spiritual gift then that we have, we are to use them with our whole heart and with enthusiasm. And then there's the third type of talent that God gives to us and holds us responsible to use. All of us have this gift as well. It's the gift of life experience. There's the story of a little girl whose name was Annie, who in 1876 was about 10 years old. At the age of 10, she was put into Tewksbury Almshouse. That's a poorhouse / orphanage for abandoned and orphaned children in Massachusetts. Her mother had died, and her father didn't want her. She went briefly to live with her aunt and uncle, but they found her too difficult to handle. And from them, she was dumped into the poorhouse. Annie had a bad disposition and a violent temper. The temper was no doubt stemming, at least in part, from being afflicted with a painful eye disease. She had been put in the poorhouse because nobody wanted her. And she turned wild, so wild that at times she had to be tied down. But there was another girl in the poorhouse named Maggie who cared for Annie. Maggie talked to her, fed her, and she did this even though Annie would throw her food on the floor and curse and rebel with every ounce of her being. Maggie was a Christian, and out of her Christian convictions, she was determined to love this dirty, unkempt, spiteful, unloving, unthankful little girl. It wasn't easy, but slowly it got through to Annie that she was not the only one who had suffered and was suffering. Maggie had also been abandoned. And gradually, Annie began to respond. At length, Maggie told her about a school for blind children. And Annie begged to be sent there. Finally, consent was given, and she went to the Perkins Institute. After a series of operations, her sight was partially restored, and she was able to finish her schooling and graduate at the age of 20. Having been blind so long, she told the director of Perkins that she wanted to work with blind and difficult children. They found a little girl 7 years old in Alabama who was blind and deaf from the age of 2. So Annie Sullivan went to Tuscumbia, Alabama to unlock the door of Helen Keller's dark prison and set her free. You see, there are things that God brings us through so that we can help others. Scripture teaches us that we are to comfort others with the comfort God gives us. So if you have made it through a dark, hard, painful, and difficult time, it may be that God has invested in you and wants you, just like Annie Sullivan, to help someone else. In the parable we read today, all three were slaves or servants of the master. In other words, all three would call themselves Christians. But only two of the three actually served their Lord. Only two of the three actually made it into heaven. So, what are your talents? What natural abilities? What spiritual gifts? What life experiences has God given you to use for His kingdom? Are you using your gifts to serve God and others? Are you making time to serve? just off the cuff, the thrift shop always needs people who can serve 2 to 4 hours a week. Our altar guild always needs people who can help, who can serve on a team once or twice a month. Our ushers and greeters always need another friendly face to help greet people who come into church. The lay Eucharistic ministers and computer operators always need more people to volunteer to serve. We have a backpack ministry. We have a bread ministry. There are all sorts of places to serve. And there's plenty of needs. What talents has God given you? It's not an idle question. You see, as Christians, we need to serve. From this parable, we learn that serving Christ is not an option. It's not fine if we do and fine if we don't. Serving's an integral part of our Christianity. It's an integral part of our getting into heaven. May God help us not to bury our talents, but indeed to use them as His faithful servants. Amen.